We're joined now by Richard Hamilton, who is from a newly formed protest group, We Need a Home, Frustrated Niche Customers Group. Richard, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Good morning. Hi, how are you going?
Well, although I suspect you're not doing terribly well, Richard, and we'll get into the reasons why in a moment. You're one of the organisers of a protest on Saturday morning outside the offices of Niche Living in Newcastle Street. A large number of people gathered there to, let's put it mildly and say, express their frustrations at either non-existent builds on the new homes or massive delays in construction going back 3 years in some cases. You're personally caught up in the situation, having signed a contract with Niche Living in December 2020 on the understanding your home would be built within 12 to 18 months. Yet here we are nearly 3 years later and you have a half-built property with no end date in sight, all the while effectively paying a mortgage for a dormant construction site as well as rent on the place you're currently residing in, a situation which must be incredibly stressful. A long and winding story with many moving parts, I'm sure, but if you could start perhaps by telling your own story, Richard, and how it's got to the point of a very public campaign of protest against Niche Living in a desperate bid, really, to try and get these homes built.
Sure, yeah. Well, as you say, I signed the contract in December 2020, and I think like many people, the experience of the pandemic made me feel like I needed a bit of security, and I'm getting to the age now where I've got to think seriously about retirement, and I've not been in a position for financial reasons up until now to buy a home normally. And so when the government issued the home builder grants around that time, I thought about it a lot and it struck me this is probably my last opportunity to get into the housing market. So I spoke to a couple of firms and spoke to a salesperson at Niche and signed a contract for a property in Orillia, which is a suburb of Kwinana. Like you said in your intro, the salesperson promised me that the home would be built within 12 months. I thought that was probably optimistic, but I was thinking 18 months to 2 years would be realistic. He also told me that I wouldn't be liable for things like strata fees, council tax, water rates, etc., until the home was complete. And I know now from speaking to others, they were all made a similar promise. And within about a year of signing the contract, most of us found ourselves getting bills from strata companies, from water companies, from council, on top of, as you say, paying an ever-increasing mortgage bill, increasing rent. So it's been extraordinarily stressful. Yeah, you're right.
Give us a sense of the scale of this, and I'm trying to think of the right word to use, crisis, scandal, outrage, a number of different adjectives or descriptions we could use. But give us a sense of the scale of this. There are home construction builds in limbo, as I understand, in Canning, Viviash, Willerton, Tapping, and actually even in Nedlands and Dalkeith, because Niche Living has a so-called high-end luxury development set of projects as well. So how many people are affected? And you've said to me, Richard, in preparing for this interview, that it's noteworthy to say as well that newly arrived migrant families, rather disturbingly and rather disgustingly, I may say, have been disproportionately preyed upon, one might say, or certainly disproportionately among the victims here.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of our group, I think there's around about 100 people who have signed up to the WhatsApp or the Facebook group, but I think we're only a small portion of the actual people affected because there's some large developments, Willerton, as you say, Viviash, Canning Vale. My building already is one of the smaller ones. Nobody seems to be getting their houses finished. I mean, that seems to be the case, and particularly the lower-end bills. So they, as you say in the intro, it seems they target people at the lower end of the market, so on Saturday, I'd say the vast majority of people there would be what you call new Australians, new migrants, recent migrants who perhaps don't understand how things work. And they were made similar promises. You'd be in a home very quickly. So it's a large number of people affected. As you say, it's particularly the most vulnerable people. It's my feeling, my interpretation is that Niche have made a commercial decision to prioritise the high-end builds at the expense of the low-end builds. And some people I spoke to on the weekend have been told that in no uncertain terms by representatives of Niche that really that their build wasn't important.
Sorry to interrupt, Richard, but it strikes me, just coming back to something you mentioned earlier, that there is a direct state government responsibility here. Of course, we don't need to retell the whole history of the COVID lockdowns and some of the financial incentives and subsidies programs that were developed during that time by state and federal government. in terms of revitalising the economy. And one such move, financial stimulus move, was that the home builders grant that you mentioned. So given that there was this flurry of home builders grants, you know, being distributed at the time, that was naturally going to lead to the encouragement of people like yourself taking up home builds. And yet, at one and the same time, the state government must have surely known, even then in 2020 and certainly now, how many of these property development companies are in financial trouble. BGC is one of the big names that may be keeling over. And Niche Living itself, it's said to have only $400,000 in cash, according to an audit, although a Niche Living spokesman said, more or less, there's nothing to see here that's a standard audit. So potentially it's insolvent already, in fact, Niche Living. So the question is, given the state government encouraging new home buyers to take up these grants to buy land, and yet they're dealing with companies that in some cases were semi-insolvent or fully insolvent. So where does the responsibility lie for all of this, Richard?
Yeah, Alex, I don't think I need to tell you, but we've been living for the last 20 or 30 years under the grip of an ideology that says that the market will fix everything. And this is a clear example of where the market doesn't work. Where private provision of housing based on the assumption the market will fill the gaps of state provision, it's clearly not worked. And it's also a clear failure of regulation. So I don't know if you saw the report in the ABC last week, but ASIC has yet to prosecute a building firm for operating insolvent. Now, trading as insolvent is a serious offence under the Companies Act, and the owners and managers are liable to hefty fines and possible imprisonment. But as you mentioned, several companies have gone under in the last period. Most of them will have been trading insolvent for significant periods, and none of them have been prosecuted. So, incidentally, as an academic, I'm writing a book on corruption and getting lots and lots of interesting resource material, because, I mean, everybody seems to be connected. The building companies seem to be on very, and let me say this to avoid libel, on very friendly terms, various regulators. So
just on that point, and of course I don't need to tell you this, Richard, and as broadcasters we have to be careful not to make any potentially libelous statements here, so, and I don't want you to get into any legal hot water, but I am safe on safe grounds in making the general statement that observation I often make to friends and comrades is that this state is essentially run by big mining and construction and property companies. So you have the might of these huge, you know, companies that are part of the local capitalist establishment in Western Australia and very much have the support and backing of state governments. And I can't imagine that you feel emboldened, let's say, or confident in getting a lot of support from the state government. But on that, I mean, have there been appeals, you know, to the housing ministry, to the housing minister, to Roger Cook as premier? Have you got what sort of feedback or you know, support, if any, have you received from the state government thus far?
I've reached out to Sue Ellery via Roger Cook's office. Roger Cook is also the MP for Kwinana, where I'm building, so he's my local constituency MP. I've asked for a meeting with him, and the office person says she's going to try and organise a meeting with Sue, so I'm hoping that will transpire, and I hope we'll get some progress there. I think, as you sort of alluded to with that figure that you cited earlier, I mean, looking into this, I mean, I started to look into this industry quite intensively over the last few months, given my experience. And the entire financial mechanism is an enormous Ponzi scheme. Banks won't lend construction firms money because it's risky, so they're constantly having to generate new sales. And in normal times, they are able to survive because they've got a constant flow of sales. But obviously, when they're not getting the progress payments because things have slowed down, this causes a glitch in the system. And this is, as I was mentioning earlier, where the market doesn't work. They can't make the sales now. They can't complete the bills they've got. They're not getting the progress payments. So at the very least, the state government and the federal government need to step in and do something to alleviate the situation that's facing, I mean, literally hundreds of people across Perth.
Now, to play devil's advocate for a moment, Richard, Niche Living has made a number of statements in its defence. There has been a talk, I should mention, that their own employees have been underpaid in their superannuation contributions and also not paid. But Niche Living has said in response, quote, there are no employees that have not been paid. And they've also repeatedly made statements saying that, to quote one such statement, customers are within contractual timeframes. And that, well, strikes me as odd on the face of it, obviously not being a property lawyer or an expert in the way property contracts work, given that there was an undertaking for the construction projects would last 12 to 18 months, to say 3 years later that customers are within their contractual timeframe seems like seems like a stretch. And they're blaming these delays on, and I'm sure there is an element of truth to this, on the an industry-wide situation. Anyone who's tried to get out a tradie would know that there are, you know, definitely continuing bottlenecks in terms of supply chains for materials getting to Western Australia. So is there any credibility to niche living's defence? I mean, are there sort of wider trends and developments in the industry that have left them hamstrung as a company?
Okay, I'll work through your questions from the first one back. So with regard to the unpaid wages, the two claims we made is that contractors we have spoken to have said they've been waiting for months, in some cases years, to be paid by niche. And as a result, many contractors refuse to work with them. So this is a report we've received from various people in the industry. The specific claims about superannuation, these are people who are employed by niche and have lodged grievances, disputes with the Fair Work Commission. So those are ongoing. So those will be documented. So I find it surprising they can claim in the light of this that there are people unpaid. But I mean, it may not be the case. The Fair Work Commission may find out that these people are lying. But that's the data. That's the evidence we're basing ourselves on. In regard to the contractual framework, well, I'll speak for myself. Their contract stipulated 392 business days, and rather interestingly, they left the commencement date blank accidentally on the contract. But according to the building code, work begins when substantial works take place on the property. And in my case, that was the 13th of April 2022 when they started clearing the site. That means my contract went into breach on Friday, the day before the protest. I've just this morning lodged a breach notice with them with a view to taking up action with the Building Commission. And I know, speaking to other people, there are lots and lots of other people whose builds started much earlier and still are not completed. So again, I find that puzzling. They claim that people are within their contracted time frame, because certainly I'm not, and I know several other people I spoke to on Saturday are not either. Now, the third point about the industry-wide conditions, absolutely it's correct, and this is the broader systemic issue I referred to earlier. But with regard to Niche's particular case, building companies in the industry who are paying the going rate on time are getting the bills completed. Now, if people are not getting bills completed and finding it difficult to get tradies, and given that there are these rumours from every direction that niche are bad payers, again, I'm stressing these are rumours, they can address these rumours by providing evidence. But the rumours exist in the industry that they're not worth working with because, for example, I spoke to one contractor who said, most firms will pay on invoice. Niche pay invoices over 5,000 over at least 6 weeks in three installments, which this actually speaks to the model as well. When the industry is working in their favour and there isn't a shortage of labour, they can screw over the contractors, which is what building companies have been doing for many, many years in Perth. But once there is a labour shortage and there's a bit more power in the hands of the workers, workers won't tolerate that kind of treatment and are refusing, and quite rightly so. So again, I specify these are rumours, and I'm not claiming them as fact. I'm telling you these are rumours. Myself and members of the group have heard from various directions, and that the reason for the delays are not industry wide. Sorry, not a result of COVID, not a result directly of shortages, but a result of a bad business model that has come back to haunt them.
Richard, I said at the start of the show somewhat facetiously that I suspect a lot of our listeners, especially younger listeners, in terms of the demographic profile of people who listen to RTRFM are renters, and their first instinct might be, oh, well, bugger it, I don't sympathise with these homeowners. You know, at least they're fortunate enough to afford a home. But the reality is actually, you know, pretty depressing that if you do manage to scramble and work hard and sacrifice and get together a deposit, you know, in your case with the help of a home builder's grant, actually, it is very much a situation of going from the frying pan of having no rights as a renter from the fire into the frying pan, whatever that expression is. As a home builder, you equally don't have any rights, and this is manifestly the case. And I know that several of you have lodged complaints with the Building Commission. There is some legal recourse for action, but just in general terms, you know, your situation and the situation of all those people, what does it say about really the sort of built-in power, in fact, of the building and property industry in this state, and the very, very limited rights that, you know, that people in your situation have?
I've been a renter for all of my life, and at the age of 54, I'm terrified of retiring as a renter because the rental situation has got worse and worse and worse over the last 4 or 5 years. My rent has increased in the last place I was in by 33% in the last 2 years. So I entirely sympathise with people who are struggling with the rental market, but we're in the same boat because ultimately it's the industry that is responsible. The way that the building sector has been set up as an asset rather than somewhere to live, as an investment property rather than a domicile, a roof over someone's head, affects everybody. And it means that people who are paying rent can never feasibly think about affording a deposit on the house. Mm. It means those of us who manage somehow to scramble together money. I mean, I had to borrow money from family, and I'm not from a rich family. Mm. And I was able to borrow money only on the ability to pay it back through the building grant. It's the system's causing this. Ultimately, it's a system that treats what should be a right as an investment.
Yeah, we're going to have to leave it there, Richard, but I've got to say, the more I read about this, the more it makes me feel sick, actually, to be honest, at a personal level, for yourself as a good comrade and, and just seeing some of these young families as well, struggling and basically left potentially homeless. It's just a dreadful situation, and niche living. We can go into the legalities of it. We get careful of what we're saying, but I think generally it's fair to say that niche living needs to be held to account here. Just finally and quickly, Richard, what's the next step for your campaign group?
Well, can I just finish with a story? There's a couple I met on the protest, but I only spoke to them via WhatsApp. Young couple, lovely couple, recently got married, planning to start a family, and they said, we just don't know now when we're going to be able to start a family. And this is the effect it's had on people. There were people from India, new migrants, and the next step is to raise the profile, to put pressure on them, to hit them where it hurts in terms of their reputation, to reach out to politicians and put the fire under the feet of the politicians. I think we're talking now about building for a bigger demonstration, a more organised demonstration in a few weeks, and we'll be calling on members of the community to come and support us in that.